the children in your life play team sports? If so, you might have seen the joy on their faces and connecting with other kids, and of course the physical benefits they get from being active. But it's not always like that. It can get tricky when some players get more time on the field or the court than others. And parents might be unsure of how to tackle this with coaches or trainers, if at all. A listener sent us this story. Have a listen.
My teenager is playing in a netball team, and I've noticed that she doesn't get as much on-court time as other kids, compared to when they were all playing in primary school. In some games, she gets a longer stint, but it tends to be when the team is already winning. When the scores are close, the on-court time is dominated by the star players. At the game last week, I overheard a parent saying to their child, "Do you want to be fair, or do you want to win?" This is not bothering my daughter yet, but I'd like to be ready in case it does.
Those are some big ideas for little people. Dr. Sarah Jefferson is a lecturer in education at Edith Cowan University. She's written about grit and resilience in children, including on the sporting field. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. And Darren Godwin is a provisional sports psychologist based in Melbourne. Darren, hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. Sarah, how much of a thing is bench time for kids and parents? Does it affect people when they're not getting as much playing time?
Look, I think there's two things to answer that question. First of all, we know that recreational and competitive sport plays a really good protective role for kids during those adolescent years. And particularly for shy children, it's great. But equally on the flip side of that, as we know, the adolescent brain is very reactive to experiences like rejection or not getting enough field time. So there are a few things at play here.
Yes, indeed. Well, and Darren, you've written about how kids of different ages want different things from playing sport. Teenagers, for example, want to be liked, be good at it, have fun and get fit. What if they're not getting that sense of mastery, though, of being good at it, and perhaps even also feeling that they're not having fun or being liked because they're not getting that validation?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really good question, and it's really just trying to, I guess, have the conversation with them about why they're there. What are they trying to get out of their sport? And to kind of have that clarity going into it so that we can set some, you know, achievable targets that we can control that then help us, you know, move them in the direction that they're after.
That achievable targets thing is interesting too. Is it always going to be about scoring or winning, or are there other things you can help your child focus on?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot in our work, we're trying to help kids focus a lot more on the process as opposed to the outcome. The winning is a very complicated variable, and a lot of different things go into it. In a lot of sports, our opposition actively get to disrupt our performance. So rather than trying to focus on something we can control, we'd rather try to focus on the process. How do we continue to get better in our practice, in our training each week? How do we reward ourselves for a really high effort on match days, as opposed to the result of winning or losing?
Sarah Jefferson, some club cultures, even at community level, will have more of a focus on recreation and participation, and some will be more focused on being more competitive and winning. Is that an issue for kids, or is it about kind of finding the culture that's right for you?
Oh, absolutely. And I do think, in fairness, clubs, broadly speaking, do want players to stay with their clubs for kids to have a great experience and to continue to develop as players. Because in reality, you know, the adolescent or the child that's coming in at sort of 12 years old and joining a club is going to be a very different person by the time they hit 18. So clubs, I think, take a much longer view in terms of developing their players in all of those contexts.
And I was wondering too, Sarah, different abilities must come into play in this discussion too. How do you adjust for different capabilities, physical or otherwise, within a diverse community when you're looking at a sporting club?
Absolutely. Look, that's one of the things that, you know, coaches do. Broadly speaking, again, I think they do. Coaches do need to remember that player development is non-linear, particularly at this age, you know, so a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old, again, are probably playing at very different skill levels, or equally the 14-year-old can be playing better than the 12-year-old can be playing better than the 14-year-old. So, like you said, you know, I think coaches need to take, well, a longer view in and of these things, and from their perspective often focus on, you know, are we providing 50% equal available minutes for playing rather than equal playing time in order to kind of give flexibility for subbing on and off.
Darren, as a sports psychologist, when you're working with young clients or their parents, what would you say in this situation if a parent's noticing that a child might be spending a lot of time on the bench and perhaps feeling left out? How would you approach that?
Yeah, I think just to take one step back from that, I think it can be helpful to just make sure we're in the right environment to begin with. And so what I'd sort of advise is for parents to go meet with clubs and coaches, maybe even to watch a game before they join a club to kind of see if the environment's right for them. I am aware that some clubs have initiatives that are more around competitiveness and some have more initiatives that are around sort of social fun and participation. So sort of being in the right environment to begin with is really helpful. However, if we are in this situation where, parents are having a hard time with kids that having limited game time, I think the first thing is to just kind of acknowledge the child's emotions in that place and just, you know, something is important to them then. So rather than try to talk their experience out for them, kind of let them express it, and then help guide the child to, what it is they can control in that situation. If you are at a club and you know you're going to have limited game time and we can't control that game time, what would you like to do with the game time that you've got? And it could be something very effort-based. It could be about running really hard, connecting passes, communicating. How do we make the most of what we've got?
When you talk about parents going and having a word with the club, some clubs would quail in fear every time they see a parent striding toward them saying, I want to talk about how much time my child is spending on the bench. Is that a good approach for parents, or is it more about an opportunity to talk to the child, as you've said, rather than tackling it at the club level?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I think, one thing I hope is that parents and child are just continually enhancing their bond and their relationship. And so, that's something that can always be worked on regardless of the club that you're at. It is hard for coaches to have, those multiple conversations. I think as parents, we'd all want like kids to have, sort of an equal amount of game time. But just it's an increasingly important topic to discuss. Like, how do we meet the needs of the children, both from a parental guidance perspective and a club coaching perspective.
A couple of interesting texts here. One says, my daughter spent time not getting much field time. In private schools, it's compulsory to do sport and be part of the team. But this text says, students like my daughter were used to make up the number of players. Private school sport, they say, it can be a nightmare for kids and parents wasting time going to matches in the morning. And another text says, teenagers need to learn. Life is not even or fair. Not everybody will be a champion. Use this situation to motivate the child to get better. A hard lesson, but look at the generation we have raised and are now complaining about. Dr. Sarah Jefferson, you've written a fair bit about grit and resilience and how to help children push through challenges. What might you say to a parent or a child in this situation? Is this an opportunity to say, look, maybe not suck it up, but let's use this as a way to get better at what you do?
Absolutely. When we're talking about resilience and grit or rebound and perseverance, yeah, of course, the child's emotional reaction to things is entirely legitimate to them in that moment of time. I often like to use the analogy of, as parents, you're often an emotional rubbish bin, where their response to things is highly emotive, they're very upset, etc. And your job is to kind of hold space for that, but also know that that reaction will pass. In 24 hours, they're probably not going to feel as emotional about it as they do at the time. And that's when, again, you can have those constructive conversations in and around, that was tough. Yes, I know yesterday you said you want to quit the team or you're never doing X, Y, Z again, but maybe it would be worth going to training this coming week and having a chat with your coach about it now that the moment's passed. Those are the spaces and places where, as parents, it's really important to hold that space, but also don't be making big decisions in the heat of those moments. To do it at a time when everyone's just a little bit more tempered and even in their responses to things.
And Sarah, I mean, up to a certain point, when things get tough and a child faces challenges, are there benefits of sticking with the challenge? Obviously there's going to be a draw, you'd have to draw a line somewhere, but are there benefits in a kind of whole of life sense to the way a child might learn to approach things, to toughing it out a bit?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the reality of life, is you are not always going to get picked for, you know, the job that you want. You're not always going to get picked for, you know, the social event that you want to go to. Like, life is filled with these experiences. The key thing, I think, during the adolescent years where, you know, they are breaking free sort of from their parent and caregiver as their primary source, is these things do matter more to them, but they are quite literally going to come bouncing back to their primary caregiver at these times. So being able to kind of hold space for those responses, but also being quite firm in your boundaries of, you know what, there's only 4 more weeks of term to go with this sport, let's finish it off. You know, even if it's not on the terms that you wanted, you know, it's important to, you know, come back to the notion of grit and resilience, that these are things that, you know, we suffer into knowledge through. So unless it's mission critical, I think it's really important that kids do, you know, see out their term or their season of the sport.
Darren Godwin, I do wonder sometimes how much of the issue is the child and how much is the parent. I mean, do you get the impression sometimes in your work as a sports psychologist that the parents might be worried about how the child is sitting out a lot, but the child might not?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's really interesting, even if you just sort of ask your child, what is it that you found fun about today, or what is it that you enjoy about your sport, and just kind of see what answers they give, it can be really interesting. A lot of the time, I think, you know, kids are really just novel and they're just in the moment and enjoying the experience that they're having. But from an adult perspective, we see it a different way because we understand and process the concepts that are happening, fairness and scores and winning and losing and game time. It's a different experience for the child. So it's definitely something to be really mindful of.
Darren Godwin, Dr. Sarah Jefferson, great to have you with us on Life Matters today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Darren Godwin's a provisional sports psychologist based in Melbourne, and Dr. Sarah Jefferson is a lecturer in education at Edith Cowan University. You can find her writing about grit and resilience in children on the Conversation website.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.